Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3,
welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you on Herb Talk. Thanks for joining us on American Voice Radio. We're going to be talking about some interesting things tonight. We are going to be talking about the millennials, you know, the youth of our generation. They got a new name, apparently. They've given it to themselves, so we're going to talk about that and why they are calling themselves that. Also, we're going to be talking about fatty livers. If you think you have one, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, too. But just a reminder on what's coming up on the schedule here. We're going to be talking with David Foreman a week from tonight. He's going to be on next Thursday, and he's our retired pharmacist who has gone natural. And more doctors are doing that, I've learned. And he's got a natural way to skip all the munchies, you know, the fattening foods that tend to put weight on you, especially for the swimsuit season that's just around the bend. So he's going to be with us Thursday. And then coming up in March, which will be here before you blink an eye, we're going to be talking with Dr. Carly, of course, on the 18th, which is her normal third Tuesday of the month to be with us. And then I'm going to be talking with John Monroe on the 20th. And also, John's going to come back with us on the 25th. So our shortwave show listeners can glean what he has to say on natural solutions to vision problems. So we got lots to talk about in the next month or so. So I hope you can join and tune in for those shows. We do have a quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and separate bye. I'm praying for our righteous men and women in the military. I'm praying for righteous men and women all over the United States. I'm praying for us all to get a backbone and say no to government tyranny, because it's got to stop, folks. Really, enough's enough. There's too much out there. Anyway, I'm praying for the Lord to help us out, and I'm seeking the Lord's face. And we're going to need his help, but it's our job to ask, you know, humbly. So I hope you'll join me in that request. And mind the time. It grows very short. Without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. What do we have in the quacker? Well, we got some new studies. Where's this coming out of? Amsterdam, Dutch land. They have a study on violence, the violence gene. Apparently, that's a big deal. They studied more than 1,600 Dutch parents of children age 5 to 9. They also studied the children, too. And they wanted to see if there was some sort of gene that makes kids video game junkies, ADHD, and, you know, kids that seek out the more violent forms of TV shows and video games. Previous studies have shown that children are in part more influenced by what their parents are watching. And in the first study, they wanted to look at the possible genetic influence of what children decide to watch on TV or games they select to play. So according to Dr. Sani Nickerlin, I guess I pronounced that right, University of Amsterdam, she says our results indicate that children's violence choices in media partly influenced by some genetic factors, they said. They have identified a variant gene, which is more likely, they think, to stimulate activities that are towards violence, you know, gear, you know, they're attracted to violent TV shows, movies, and video game playing. So, you know, instead of Pac-Man, you know, these kids might want to watch Grand Theft Auto or Call of Duty, play Call of Duty on their video set. So, interesting. We'll see what that actually, you know, filters out to be. Last but not least in the quack report, let's see what we have here. California, you know, California had that safe cosmetic program that kicked in. How's it doing? Well, you know, cosmetic product regulations are kind of new in the state of California. Probably got some bugs to work out. They wanted to give consumers more information about the chemicals that were in these cosmetic products that they were purchasing. So California came up with the Safe Cosmetics Program Product Database. And what the deal is that there's a $60 billion cosmetic industry, right? And they want them to be more transparent to consumers about what they're putting in their products. So they're supposed to voluntarily send the government, whoever is running this cosmetic database, information about their products and what's in them. But there's some problems with this. Largely, these companies don't want any transparency. They are being pretty much uncooperative. So they're not sending information about the chemicals and ingredients in their products. They're claiming, you know, our recipes are private, you know, they're corporate property, intellectual property, secret, trade secret kind of thing. So there's the loophole for them under the trade secret option. So you know, they can put anything toxic they want, I guess, in a product, but under that loophole, they don't have to report squat. Yeah, so it's kind of frustrating, you know, when that happens. They promise the public all kinds of things, and then it falls short, and you got to wonder, hey, was this on purpose? You know, was this all just a fraud, a hoax, dog and pony show, you know, a mirage of we care about what you're using on your face, putting on your teeth, your nails, whatever. Well, you guys are savvy out there. Start demanding quality organic stuff and vote with your wallet. I think that works a whole lot better. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thanks, Frank. Okay. I know we had kind of a sparse quacker tonight, didn't we? All right, we're going to be talking about the millennials. You know, the media likes to assign various generational labels to people, like, you know, the baby boomers, the Generation Xers, the Generation Ys, and of course, the new generation, as we're calling them, the millennials. Well, according to the Huffington Post, the millennials are now referring to themselves as, are you ready for this? Generation Stress. Yeah, they renamed themselves. So you want to ask yourself why. Well, ask young adults if they feel stressed. And they will confirm that regular stress, well, you need to multiply that like 3 or 4 times to qualify to how stressed they feel. So the stress is translating into various diseases depression and anxiety, obesity, and diabetes. So younger and younger folks are coming up with these illnesses. So and it's also been predicted by the parents of the millennials, or Generation Stress, as I should say. The parents of Generation Stress, they're going to outlive them, basically. So we're going to take a look at what might be driving the stress epidemic for our youth and what we can do about it. Well, first, there's some studies. The American Psychological Association published information that as far as human demographics go, the millennials are the most stressed in our modern society. So why is that? So is it because this young generation has been, you know, offered the most in opportunities and lifestyles than any generation before? Or perhaps is it the economy and the lack of employment opportunities? Well, by far, the job situation in America is their biggest stress factor. However, the millennials are calling workplace rife, that's what they're calling it, is a big problem. And it describes workplace environments that are riddled with destructive behaviors by coworkers and supervisors. So never before has a rise through the ranks to the top of the heap in the workplace been filled with such unnecessary hurdles, which seem to be tugging at the very conscience of our youth. Okay, so success at any price is a price that's too high to pay, apparently. Now, millennials call this destructive definitions of success. And unless millennials can redefine success with some morals, it makes you wonder if there'll ever be a Generation Z. Well, let's talk about what's going on here. Let's call in some experts. Dr. Larkin Callahan at Columbia's Health and Behavior Studies Department says that the millennials have a situation of declining mental health. Now, and well, is it any wonder they are struggling with all the change that's happening on multiple fronts in our society? So what would you expect from a stressed-out generation that replaces a majority of their human contact with technology? Yeah, so real friends tend to become cyber friends. Real conversations become tweets or text text messages. Personal handwritten cards or letters become posts or videos online. Privacy becomes public knowledge, and there really is no time to stop and think about things. So business, technology, and relationships kind of spin at a dizzying pace. People having trouble processing that. So when technology takes up 95% of your life, you can expect some glitches, such as mental disorders and health risks. So the media is not really reporting on this technology-driven epidemic. And the stimuli are numerous, from sedentary lifestyles to worry about internet stalkers and sexual predators. Cyberbullying is a huge problem, and the owners of Facebook, who also own Instagram, were recently contacted by authorities to reveal they wanted to know who owned a page posting nude photos of underage students to all their classmates to view. Now, that's stressful. So never has there been a generation that has been stressed to its limits with extreme provocation. Yep. So is technology to blame? Well, that's what they're pointing their finger at. According to Dr. Callahan, there is evidence that suggests that the internet is the cause for teen depression and psychological problems. You know, that's kind of like blaming SUVs for global warming or guns for murder. The internet is a tool, and we have the option to log on to the internet or not. We can have social media accounts, or we don't have to have them. So we have personal breaks we can put on, and we can use that in certain areas of our lives to deter much of the insanity this world is dishing out. Well, so is technology driving the narcissism that they're also complaining about? Well, according to some experts, technology and entitlement is driving our current epidemic of narcissistic personality disorder in America. According to Dr. Jean Twing of San Diego State University, raising spoiled children combined with the use of social media has become the breeding ground for our narcissistic epidemic. According to Dr. Twang, narcissism is pulsing through social media, end of quote. So the youth of America, you know, those generation stress, they have a disproportionate reliance on the instant and superficial gratification that social media is delivering. So this is adversely affecting their value system and their self-esteem. So this is not a healthy or safe way to forge values of any kind. So building emotional relationships on a fragile network is like building a house on sand. However, this is the new community way to raise children when the whole world weighs in on your life, determining individualism individualism in the pursuit of, you know, it takes a village theology, right? So it's more socialism. Everything's, you know, no individual thinking is allowed, apparently. You can't be yourself. All right, let's look at some of the statistics because these are kind of crazy. Generation stress, or the millennials, have some daunting stats. When it comes to mental health, about 8% of people ages 12 to 17 have at least one personality disorder. Now, some blame the breakdown of the family unit. Some say it's not really an issue. The higher numbers are due to greater awareness, and some say it's because of wealth. With the entitlement generation, and there's even legal defense lawyers now using that affluence as a scapegoat for bad behavior. Well, according to Dr. Twang, the progression of narcissism and materialistic behaviors is summed up in what she calls Generation Me. It's all about me. So our young people are becoming disillusioned, wanting to be rich and famous. You know, the reality TVs, the bad talent shows, they're pushing this illusion to, you know, maximize promoting fantasy over reality. So to the Pew Research Center study of 2011, about 80% of teens are using social networking, and they're placing great importance on what participants of those networks think about them. So it's kind of like a mini reality show judging the participants and assigning likes and dislikes to their worth, which can totally mess up their self-esteem and ability to develop their own personality. So social media erases the integrity of personal communication, and what folks are left with is an insincere feedback. So it is the difference between a genuine compliment and flattery. So this can lead to what I call overindulgence of the psyche, and misbehavior is going to follow. So what you wind up with is a generation of people who are more disconnected, have less empathy, are apathetic about justice, politics, and or the big picture. So it's no wonder that Generation Stress feels anxious and depressed because they are developing social skills which dictate little control over their future. And this is the perfect generation to unleash more government control over because their perception of influencing external forces is limited. And it also explains why so many young people are not taking responsibility for their actions and are more cynical, selfish, and shallow. So if Generation Stress feels that their level of achievement is fixed or negated in some way, this will lead to more depression. So what these folks need is to experience real gratification from real achievement. Feelings experienced from real accomplishment instead of shallow praise is really what they need. So compared to the 1960s, more young people describe having low self-esteem, feelings of helplessness, and less self-control now than in the 1960s. And then if you compare the mental health of our youth to the 1920s, you'll find the psychological dysfunction is 5 times greater today. So this is a serious moral problem, and antidepressants aren't going to fix this. Mm-mm. Now, this reminds me of a while back I reported on this, a program for underprivileged children back it's in Houston, Texas. It's called Earn a Bike. The kids participating in the program give it high praise because they learn how to work on repairing bikes, not only for themselves but for others. And so this taught skills and how to achieve a real goal, and gave a sense of accomplishment. And the kids just flocked to this because it empowered them. They didn't have people teaching them this. You know, how many kids have you heard say, my dad never taught me anything, doesn't teach me anything? Well, now if you can, you know, keep this set of kids, these are elementary and middle school kids, if you keep them off social media or really limit it, you know, and teach them some of the pitfalls about that, well, then these kids have a chance of developing some healthy personalities. Okay, so we've heard about the new reality, right? Yeah, we have. I don't buy into the media's promotion of the new reality because in most cases, dysfunction is a choice, you know? So let's say you know that you have a problem and you're suffering. Your emotions are suffering, maybe you're anxious or depressed. Prescription drugs aren't going to fix that. They're going to just stuff your emotions, okay, and cover them up for a little while. But it's not going to take care of the problem, and it may even make it worse. So we tend to be creatures of habit, you know. We don't like change. As we know, nothing's going to improve until we make some changes. So my advice, if I had a problem, I'd disconnect myself from bad influences, even if it's in technology. You know, disconnect from those bad influences in your life, okay? The Bible's pretty clear on this kind of thing and says, do not have anything to do with bad or immoral behavior. It says to flee from it, okay? So instead, engage in some activities that offer real accomplishment and also offer opportunities to help others. You know, this is the very this is a very satisfying thing for the human conscience to give of ourselves to help others. So change to a more nutritious lifestyle and, you know, get that regular exercise in there because it boosts mood, the neurotransmitters in the brain, and you'll just have a more positive perspective. And your perspective will go from doom and gloom to my cup is half full kind of thing. So get that lifestyle change. And instead of antidepressants, you know, I'd empower myself and I'd use some herbs to take some of the stress off my nerves. And maybe I'd use some antispasmodic herbs to relieve some tension in my muscles, you know, just to give me a little bit more control. And best benefit is that I can accomplish this without feeling sedated and without side effects. So I like to use valerian root to take stress off the nervous system, and it works better if you use it in a liquid rather than a pill form. I also like lobelia herb to remove tension from muscles, and again, this works better in a tincture because it has to be aged in two different catalysts so it'll work right. So, and the only place that I know that has both is Apothecary Herbs, and you can give them a call to order toll-free. That number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. International number is 704-885-0277, 704-885-0277, and their website is thepowerherbs.com. And the good news is they're never closed. You can order online, you can call their number 24/7, and you can place an order. So that's where your healthcare options just became endless. So, and if you want more 100% organic vitamins, you want to check out their Body Foundation Food Mix. And all their products are non-GMO, and they come with a guarantee. So check that out. Now, if you're on the website, don't forget to check out the newsletters tab and sign up for their free online newsletters, because guess what? You get great information that's free, health information, natural therapies, and you also get discount coupons that you could use on your herbal products there. So free information that's empowering, discounts on the products that will empower you further. What could be better than that? So check that out at your convenience, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless. That's all right. And Dr. Carly was here Tuesday, and what a great endorsement she gave us on the Power Greens for Pet product. That's our new vitamin supplement for pets. You can add to their pet food, because the pet food sometimes isn't all that great, right? You know, it's got a lot of cooked ingredients and all the nutrition's cooked out of it. Then they got some other things in there like grains and sorghum and sugars, and, you know, our pets aren't supposed to have that. So why not power them up with some Power Greens for Pets, all organic, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, easy on the digestion, and a little goes a long way. You don't have to use huge scoops of it. It's just like a tablespoon or a teaspoon if you got a real tiny, tiny pet. And it's good for dogs and cats. You can check it out, thepowerherbs.com. I think Dr. Carly said that they lick that stuff out of the bottom of the bowl. They love it. I know. It's all organic. Hey, you know, if you've opened salads or green beans at your house and your dog likes that kind of thing, well, there's a reason for that. They need the mineral nutrition and the fiber in that. So it's not grains. They need meat and they need greens. And that's what they normally eat in the wild. So check that out. The Power Greens for Pets at thepowerherbs.com. And you'll have a healthy pet. Yeah, stay away from the vet, because we want organic pets. We gotta take a break. More health news on the other side. Be right back. Blinded by the light.
And pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Thank you.
here on Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and we're going to be talking about fatty livers. Seems to be, you know, a big topic from coroners. You know, they see that a lot, the fatty livers. You know, and some of us could have a fatty liver right now and not even know it. There's 15 million Americans that have fatty livers. 90% to 100% of them already have this condition or soon will based on their lifestyle. Now, modern medicine, you know, they have two categories for your fatty liver. There's the non-alcohol type of fatty liver that's associated with, you know, obesity. And then there's the alcohol consumption fatty liver associated with alcohol abuse. So there's really, though, a third category, which science pretty much ignores, and that's a liver problems that are caused by prescription drugs. They can give you a fatty liver, too. So we're going to cover that, too, as well, this segment. So what really constitutes a fatty liver? Well, a fatty liver is a liver that has accumulated lots of fat cells, obviously. But interestingly, medical science does not call all liver with some fat cells fatty liver disease. And why is that? Well, because it's very likely that there, if there is no permanent damage, no scar tissue or cancer happening, then the condition can be reversed with some inexpensive and simple methods. So it's not, you know, technically fatty liver disease then. Also, science is not precisely sure how the liver gets all clogged up with those fat cells. Now, it could be a digestive or a metabolism problem, as well as the unhealthy diet. But you officially have a fatty liver if the weight of your liver organ increases by 5 to 10%. So the healthy adult liver weighs about 3 pounds, but a fatty liver can weigh 4 to 5 pounds. So this is why medical examiners will weigh the vital organs during autopsies to help determine cause of death. Now, if the liver gets fatty, it slows the normal function of this organ, and inflammation can result, and you could get things like hepatitis. So if the condition is not reversed, you could get fibrosis and cirrhosis, scar tissue, that can develop in the liver within 10 to 15 years. So it's estimated that 20 to 40% of individuals who are overweight, grossly overweight, I should say, they run the risk of having liver problems called steatohepatitis. So an indication of being overweight is pretty much excess fat around the waist. Now, for women, if your waist is 35 inches or greater, and for men, if your waist is 40 inches or greater, you could be in this liver hepatitis, fatty liver category, risk category. Well, let's look at medical treatments. If you go to your medical doctor, they'll want to take some blood samples from you to check the elevated liver enzymes. Now, if the enzymes are elevated, it's an indication that damage has already affected your liver. So then your doctor may want a sample of your liver tissue, you know, do a biopsy. You want to check this out. So if you object, you know, to them cutting into your liver that may be sick already, how does that help your sick liver to cut it up like that? But, you know, let's say you object, you don't want a biopsy. Then maybe you could do an ultrasound or a CT scan, and that may give them a clue as to why the liver may be heavy, enlarged, or whatever. So for overweight individuals with fatty livers, they are basically going to be treated for obesity and diabetes to try to correct this problem. Well, let's say you're a non-drinker and you're having this problem with your liver. So if you don't drink alcohol, but you have this fatty liver, you may have an inherited weak liver genes, or your lifestyle has contributed and caused obesity and diabetes. Now, over time, the liver can enlarge and liver cells can be replaced with scar tissue called non-alcoholic steatohepatitis or cirrhosis. Now, it's very likely that the liver will fail or develop cancer. So according to health experts, sick livers are on the rise, and there's a 20% increase in adults, and 6 million Americans are out there at their doctor's office seeking treatment. Now, rates are up in Asian and Hispanic populations. Children, too, about 3%, because they're consuming that high fructose corn syrup and they're not getting enough exercise, they're also at risk of having liver disease. America, more than half of the kids, 53%, are overweight and already started down the road of having fatty livers. Actually, doctors have found fatty livers in children as young as 4 in America. Wow. Well, let's say, what are the risks? Let's say you're a non-drinker. What are your risks of developing liver problems? Well, there are several factors that can contribute to a fatty liver. As mentioned, heredity can be a part to play. This illness also likes to rear its ugly head in middle-aged individuals, especially those who are overweight or obese. So if you suffer from high cholesterol or triglycerides, well, your risk is higher for developing a fatty liver. If you are pre-diabetic or your diabetic risk increases as you age, well, then you're also going to be risking that liver, according to medical science. So if you have digestive diseases of the small intestines, let's say Crohn's disease, they also say your risk is greater of having liver disease. And if you have viral hepatitis, or let's say an autoimmune disease, your risk is greater as well. So people that are suffering from malnutrition and they have an overload of iron in their system, that's also very bad. It's going to put you at risk. And, of course, if you suffer from tuberculosis, that's also another category that's not going to help you. Well, let's say you have liver problems and it's caused by alcohol consumption. This is the other category for having major fatty liver disease, according to science, if you consume a fair amount of alcohol on a regular basis. So we're talking about drinking 2 or more alcoholic beverages each day and perhaps even binging, 2 or more days per week. So if you are a moderate drinker for like 10 to 15 years, guess what? Your liver will have problems. So if you're a heavy drinker for a short period of time, hey, your liver's going to have problems. Well, let's talk about some of the drugs that can cause liver disease. Prescription drugs can make the liver ill and even make it become fatty. Here's a list of some of the drugs. Aspirin. Anybody on a daily aspirin regimen out there? Drugs for heart arrhythmias. The calcium channel blockers, the anti-inflammatory drugs like cortisone and prednisone, corticosteroids, the cancer drugs, estrogen drugs for hormones, anti-epileptic drugs, tetracycline, anybody out there been on that for acne, and also carbon tetrachloride, which is basically a cleaning agent and a refrigerant, but it absorbs into your skin and also you can breathe it in. So if you're working around that kind of thing in your industry, that's a problem. So, and what about drug combinations? Well, if you mix a bunch of prescription drugs, that's pretty dangerous. Doctors and pharmacists don't really know what's going to happen to you after that first prescription they give you, because that causes 100 chemical changes in your body. So for each drug you get, that's an additional 100 chemical changes. So 2 drugs, that's 100 times 100 chemical changes, and they don't know what's going to happen to you. It's kind of like Russian roulette. So you're asking serious hurt for your liver when you're taking prescription drugs, which are considered very toxic, and that's why they're prescribed by a doctor and so forth and so on. So here's some deadly combos for your liver. Antibiotics like rifampin and HIV drug Squirnovir and the anti-cholesterol drug simvestatin. Oof, bad stuff. All right, let's look at some of the liver symptoms. So if your liver decides to let you know there's a problem, you're going to experience a few symptoms like this dull or nagging pain in your abdomen. You may have weakness or nausea, bloating, lots of flatulence and gas, high cholesterol and blood pressure. You may have weight gain and even a yellow pigment to your skin. Many of these symptoms develop slowly and pretty much are ignored by a majority of folks. Let's talk about liver health in Canada, because according to health authorities, about 50% of Canadians tend to be overweight, and 75% of them develop fatty livers unless they make some lifestyle changes. So, therefore, fatty livers in Canada, up 23%, correlates with their obesity rates. And let's talk about nursing homes. There seems to be several ways to make the fatty liver, folks. We mentioned malnutrition as a way, and now we have the elderly, and they tend not to eat so healthy, right, as they are in their golden years. Now, on the flip side of that, elderly people in nursing homes may be given, the nutritional intravenous medications in a feeding tube. They may be given stuff that looks like infant formula as a nutritional supplement, but long-term use of that type of delivery system produces fatty livers. Long-term, it's long-term though. All right, what else do we have on this topic? Well, if your liver's fatty, it gets inflamed and it's going to be more vulnerable to disease. So currently there are really no drugs that are effective for fatty livers. But that doesn't mean there won't be in the future, according to science. The effective method, though, for reversing fatty livers really is through a permanent diet change, regular exercise, really limit anything that will hurt the liver, including smoking, alcohol, and prescription drugs that know will stress the liver. So your liver is an important organ, and you got to take care of it, because your liver is responsible for filtering your blood, removing toxic substances from it, storing vitamins, synthesizing cholesterol, metabolizing and storing sugars, assembling amino acids into proteins, controlling blood fluidity and regulating blood clotting, removing excess protein through the kidneys, and burning fat and mixing bile for the digestive system so it can metabolize fat. Okay, so when the liver is healthy, it's not hard for anybody to lose weight, right? So if the liver is fatty, well, that process is reversed. The liver stores more fat and people gain more weight. So then there are other symptoms that are going to follow, you know, the high cholesterol, the high blood pressure, the obesity, the diabetes, the hepatitis, the cirrhosis, all just right behind you, basically. Other complications could arise, like an inflamed gallbladder, because the liver and the gallbladder kind of work in tandem together. The liver will neutralize toxins and the residues go to the gallbladder. Well, if it's not neutralizing toxins well enough, guess what? The gallbladder's going, whoa, 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 whoa. What the heck's that? I can't deal with that. And of course, it's forced to, and then of course, it's irritated, really irritated. You can get cholecystitis. You can get appendicitis, pancreatitis, all these itises. This is inflammation of these organs. Not good. Not good at all. Now, if you're an alcoholic, you can count on all these complications, the likelihood of surgery, and pretty much a high death rate. Okay? FYI. So we got to get a grip on this. That's all there is to it. So you can reverse a fatty liver if you're disciplined and you take control. So there is no quick fix, though, and you're going to have to be patient with it. You're going to have to avoid all alcohol, all processed sugar. You're going to have to get that diet really healthy, more fiber, more natural fruits and vegetables, organic preferably, no processed foods at all, very, very lean meat if you're having any, along with regular exercise, okay, lots of water. Now flush this. So you can layer in some liver cleansing herbs, some liver strengthening herbs, some liver regeneratory type of herbs, and I like to use a couple together, milk thistle and barberry, barberry is going to help clean out that gallbladder and get rid of the inflammation in there. And, of course, the milk thistle will assist the liver to regenerate and replace old cells with healthier ones. It's the antioxidant in the milk thistle, silymarin, that the liver utilizes for that. So you can help a sick liver replace those sick cells with new ones and flush out the impurities and take the burden off the system. So folks that have fatty livers are usually low on energy. Exercise is a big challenge to them. So you got to change to the new diet. The energy will pick up. Do the cleanse to clean out the organs, to get rid of the toxicity, and the energy will pick up some more. You can layer in some herbs that help with energy and detoxification. Ginseng, American, and Siberian are excellent. Spirulina and chlorella are great antioxidants and give lots of energy to the system along with protein. So you've got some choices there. If you need some assistance, give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call. They'll hook you up with some milk thistle, some barberry, some ginsengs, some Body Foundation food mix with the spirulina and chlorella, all the nutrients that the body is just dying to have, so it can do what it's supposed to do, heal itself. That's it. End of story. Easy, not hard, not complicated. You know, God put all these nutrients here for us. He wants us to be smart, you know, and my people perish for lack of knowledge. So pick up the baton here, folks, and do your due diligence and run with it, and you'll be glad you did. You'll be so amazed at how much power you have in your hands, and it's not complicated. It's not supposed to be. So give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call, and they'll send you a free product catalog if you'd like. Their number is toll-free at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277, 704-885-0277, and the website is thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com, that's where your healthcare options just became endless. Wow. All right, so we have a little time left here, so I want to touch on, we'll save our allergy segment for later, because, you know, we're going to be hitting allergy season real soon. Whew, you know, sinusitis, pollen, you name it. It's, you know, we're going to trade all the ice and the snow for, you know, pollen, all the yellow cars and the sneezing. All right, let's talk about some clover. I love red clover for certain things. Has a long history. Very much a medicinal herb. Pharmaceutical companies would be jealous of the history and empirical knowledge of red clover. It's one of the oldest archaeological crops to date. Has a 100-year-old track record for conditions like cancer and detoxing. But, of course, that's somewhat controversial, as you would guess, with health authorities. Now, the Greeks, the Romans, the Celts, they all used red clover. And the Romans liked to use the three-leaf clover because of the symbol of the Trinity. The Irish made the three-leaf clover their shamrock symbol. And later it became a model for the suit of clubs and your playing deck cards. In the Middle Ages, the clover was used by the occult for mystical charms, and the church used it to ward off witchcraft. But red clover blossoms, they're everywhere in the spring and summer and early fall. That's the best time to harvest them, when they go to that bright purple. Chinese medicine makes use of them in expectorant, herbal expectorants. Russians, they use it, they list it as a medicine for the treatment of asthma. So red clover has been used by many cultures over hundreds of years for all kinds of things, topical salves, for skin sores, eye infections, blood cleansing. So down through the centuries, man has gained a lot of uses for red clover in the treatment of things like inflammation, diuretics, sedatives, cough suppressants, cancer, and so on. I love to use it in my blood cleanse. That's what I love to use it for. So we can tap into the power here of red clover Now, naturopaths adopted red clover in the 19th century. They used it against pertussis, the whooping cough virus, and I like to layer it with thyme herb, T-H-Y-M-E, if you have whooping cough. Those two together are awesome. Red clover seems to have the ability to soothe, and it's also listed in the King's American Dispensary of 1898. So the clover was listed as an excellent herb for congestive-type conditions like croup, cough, bronchitis, tuberculosis, and whooping cough. Naturopaths endorsed it, the red clover, effective agent against the spread of cancer. So red clover was an ingredient in the famous Henry Hoxie's cancer treatment. Later in the 20th century, it was a popular ingredient in a patented medicine called trimolidium compounds, which were used to treat skin diseases like syphilis and TB. So red clover remained in the national formulary, a pharmacist reference, until 1946. So it's a wonder it was listed there, since, you know, the American Medical Association, you know, they decided that red clover really didn't have any medicinal properties whatsoever in 1912. So, poo-hoo. Well, today, naturopaths will use red clover externally for a lot of skin conditions like eczema and psoriasis. If they use it internally, they'll tend to use it for nausea, menopause, digestive problems, respiratory congestants. Very few healers will use it for blood purification and to clear the blood from cancer cells, but it is awesome for that. Now, the FDA isn't too worried about you using red clover because they've listed it as a safe herb with no side effects. They claim red clover has no medicinal value, so you probably won't even care. Well, you're not supposed to know that. They think that, but that's what it is. So there have been some studies on the red clover. Researchers at the National Cancer Institute checked it out, and guess what? Red clover does have anti-tumor properties. Their report was published in the Journal of Natural Product, and Dr. Jonathan Hartwell conducted the research. He was pretty amazed to discover that the clover had over 33 different cultures for cancer, and it was promoted in his research. He reported that the red clover had four anti-tumor compounds, and which confirmed red clover's use for the cancer, as we know. And also it helps with menopause, he said. There's more on the red clover. It contains a lot of vitamin E, a powerful antioxidant, and it helps prevent the spread of cancer and helps also if you have heart disease. So independent studies there by Dr. Hartwell, awesome. They do caution you if red clover, because it has some estrogen compounds, you shouldn't use it if you have a type of cancer that's estrogen dependent. Okay, so there you go. So if you're looking for some real powerful red clover, look no further. It'll be an ingredient in the blood cleanser that the folks at Apothecary Herbs have, so you can check that out. But, of course, you don't want to do blood cleansing right off the top. You want to cleanse the other organs first. Blood cleansing's always last. If you don't know a thing about organ cleansing, go to the Healthy Guidelines section on the PowerHerbs.com website and check it out. Or call the folks at Apothecary Herbs for their free product catalog, because they list the organ cleansing in the proper order for your success and safety. So that toll-free number, once again, is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. Also, I almost forgot, one study said red clover is good for embolisms, thrombosis. Check it out. We got to go. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician if you dare before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.